And turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read verses 10 to the end of the chapter. Starting with verse 10, because it starts with the words "we," which tells us it's speaking about those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, the brethren, the brothers and sisters, young and old. This is the word of God. We have to serve the tabernacle, for the body of God is brought for sin. Are burned out. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our name. But do not care, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that you pray for us that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I pray this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting, complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we come to the passage of our focus this morning, and this is that actual close of the letter, like write or emails or cards, whatever it may be. Now the preacher to the Hebrews is closing his letter. And I bear with the word of exhortation, for I know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray and ask God's blessing on the reading and preaching of his word. Father God, you would bless the reading of your word to your people, that you would bless the preaching of your word to your people, that we would be hearers and doers, we would not be hypocrites, that we would be faithful in applying your word to our life, Lord. So work in us all these things, Father, for without you doing so, we can do nothing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, this is the close of this letter. It is 71 sermons that we have gone through over the last several months and over probably a year. But this is the close. This is the end of this letter, the end of our time in it for now. When we receive letters or emails or cards, we often see people write something at the end of that note to us, something maybe quippy or cute or encouraging, something that sometimes is just "see you later" or "see you soon," "farewell" or something like that, somehow to make a connection with you at the end. And while there may be poured into that closing all kinds of sentiment and care for us, we oftentimes don't spend too much time on that closing. We've seen those words before. And even when I send you an email, you see, if you look at it, you will see what I say at the end of an email is "warmly in Christ." Don't know if you've ever noticed that. But while I mean what I'm saying, that I am greeting you and addressing you with this information with the warmth of Christ in my heart for you, it's just a little thing that you probably don't think adds much to the letter or to the note. But here, it is not a little thing. and it is full of truth. It is full of truth. And so we need to spend some time on these words in this greeting. It is a letter. It is the closing of a letter that has been filled with love for the brethren and still remains so here in this closing. It is a love for the church of Jesus Christ. And that is what I really want you to grasp today. To be challenged in your own heart, whether you do or do not love the body of Jesus Christ. And if you do, to what degree you do love the body of Christ. And here in this passage of Scripture, we're going to see the degrees to which the preacher to the Hebrews loves these people. And I don't know if you notice, but there are three words that he uses and tells them, this is what I want you to do. And I'm just going to pull those words out for a minute. Bear to, these are commands, know in verse 23, and in verse 24, greet. Bear, know, and greet. But underlying these commands is this foundational principle that he has and that he is manifesting towards them, and that is his love for them. For all this letter. And you'll notice them, brethren. And in verse 23, he with them saying, our brother Timothy. He doesn't say my brother, as if Timothy is not their brother as well. And then in verse 24, who rule over you, and all to the brethren that he's been talking about. And then in verse 25 he says, grace to you all. Grace to you all. All the brethren. The preacher had a great love for those who were in the church. Even those who were struggling with their faith. Because that's what the book of Hebrews has really been about. It has been about those who have come to profess Jesus Christ as their Savior, but who have been being drawn back to Judaism because all these changes, and even family members or people in their community are saying, you can't go there. You're leaving behind all these things that God has used in our life and in our history. You have to remember that this is a time of great upheaval and change for those who are receiving this letter. There'll be no more sacrifices. There is no more temple. No more. All of these things are put away and fulfilled in Jesus Christ now. And you can only imagine if your world faced such change, how difficult that would be. So this is who he's writing to, and some of these people are struggling to hang on. And yet, he calls them brothers. He sees them as Christ's body, as Christ's family, and as his brothers in the Lord. And so he closes exhortations to bear, know, and greet, but which are all sitting on a foundation of his love for them. In fact, each of these exhortations to bear, to know, and to greet, they are a manifestation of that love. And so I place this back on us again and asking you, where's the manifestation of your love for the church of Jesus Christ? Because love is not one of those things that is defined just by words. When there is love, there will be manifest evidence. As we read these exhortations, not only are we to heed them ourselves, but we can also use them to check our own lives to see if we have this manifestation of love for the church. For the church, as weak or as strong as she may be at any given time, like this church was going through some weaknesses, some struggles, we are to love the brethren. And this gives us three ways in which we can manifest and follow this example. And I want you to see those things that because the writer of this letter, because exhortation. And what's he talking about, this exhortation? Hebrews chapter 1 through chapter 13. He's calling them to bear with this letter that he has written to them. We see this in verse 22. In verse 23, we're going to see, because he loved them, he desired to minister to them. And then in verses 24 and 25, we will see, because he loved them, he greets the entire church, seeking God's grace for them all. And so then let's look at verse 22. And he says, "And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words." Because he loved them, he called them to bear with the exhortation. And we see even in the language that he chooses to use here in verse 22, "And I appeal to you, brethren," he is seeking to communicate his love with them, for them. In verse 22, he says, "I appeal to you, brethren." When somebody uses that kind of language, it's stronger than just, "Hey, brethren, I hope you'll do this," or "I hope you will want to do this." He is appealing to them. He is speaking to them even more to bear this word of exhortation. And this word appeal is to come alongside of them to help you. And so what he is saying is, because I love you, I'm coming alongside of you, I have written you this letter, and I want you to bear it. I want you to suffer it. In other words, I want you to carry it, to put it in your life. He's coming alongside of them, appealing to them. It is like as if somebody, rather than from hollering it from a distance to get somebody done, and they come up right, "I need you to do this." And that's what the preacher is doing. He's coming alongside somebody to help them bear this word of exhortation. And not only that, this same word that is used for appeal here in verse 22 is also the same root word for where he says the word of exhortation. The word appeal and the word exhortation are based on the same root word, and both come from that idea of coming alongside. So to exhort somebody is the action of coming along somebody. So you have this going on here. The appeal, rather, is the action verb. He is appealing to them, and the exhortation is a noun. It's something what he has given them in the book of Hebrews is a great help to come alongside them. And so there's a double use of this word, to come alongside. And that's a manifestation of love for a brother or a sister. To come alongside them, to appeal to them, to encourage them, to exhort them, to submit themselves to the Word of God. How many times do we hear from the world when we teach them the Word of God that it's not our business to tell them what God says? I heard this just the other day from somebody. It's not my business to tell them what their relationship with God should be like. That's how they characterized just reading Scripture to them. This person was a lost person. But you will find, if you're willing to love your brothers and sisters, that at times they may say a similar thing. And you will hear, "Who are you to judge?" Or, "Who are you to say what I'm doing is wrong?" And they would have a point if you're using anything but God's Word. But to come alongside somebody with God's Word as encouragement or even correction, done in the right way, with humility, knowing that except for the grace of God, we go there too, it is right for you to exhort your brothers and sisters, to appeal to them, to bear, to suffer the Word of God, to take it upon themselves. It is right. And it is a manifestation of love for the body of Christ. You may not always be popular for doing so. But popularity is not our goal. Love is our goal. Love for the brethren. Well, if this is the Apostle Paul, whom most people believe it is, and I do as well, right? Paul has kind of a double thing going on here. He also is a Hebrew, and he's a Christian, like them. And so he has a double connection in which he could call them brethren. And it was deep in Paul's heart to see his Hebrew brothers and sisters to come to know Jesus Christ. Deep in his heart. So much so, in Romans chapter 1, we see this love manifested for his Hebrew brothers when he says, I know Christ. I am not lying. My witness in the Holy Spirit that I am grief in my heart, for I for accursed from Christ. For I come. And here he is speaking about his love for his the people that he was born with in, his heritage, the nation of Israel. He had a love, so much love for them that he, if it were possible, would depart from Christ so they could come to Christ. That is a love. Manifested love. But he manifested here as well as he is speaking to Christian Jews, to those who have. And his love for these Hebrew Christians was that they would hear God's word and receive it and apply it to their life. To not let or anyone pull them back body, to pull their eyes or their hearts and minds off. That's what he's been doing all the way through Hebrews chapter 1 to 13. He pleads with them, appeals to them to bear, to suffer this exhortation. He pleads with them to not let any other influences from the past prejudice them against Jesus Christ or from following Jesus Christ. I don't know, it always gives good sermon illustrations or good sermon connections when we go out and do evangelism, because you hear all kinds of things from people that you talk to. And one of the things that Cynthia and I heard yesterday when we knocked on a door was from a young man named Stephen. And we introduced ourselves and told him what we were doing. And he said, oh, I used to be a Christian. As we talked to him, we found out he's now more in line with Universalist, yes, thank you. That's where he was now. I used to be a Christian. Some of these people were just about on that verge here in the book of Hebrews. When I asked Stephen, why are you not a Christian now? He said, well, it's complicated. So he didn't want to talk about it. But we were able to share with him this booklet, and he gave it back to us. So much so opposed to Christ. And I wonder what happened in Stephen's life. I wonder if there was anybody there to come alongside him and exhort him to continue in the faith. We see this happen often in the church. And in RP churches, we see it happen as well. We all to the church, but now they don't. We talk to people who once professed Christ, but now they don't. And that's why the preacher here is appealing to them and exhorting them to bear up, to suffer the word of God, to take. Some people drift away slowly from the faith. Some people quickly from worshiping God. And before they know it, it's been years since anybody has talked to them about Jesus Christ. And that was our experience yesterday with another person. I used to go to church, but I haven't been in years. The preacher of the Hebrews here is pleading with them to hold up, to stand up and carry the truth with them. In other words, to believe this truth. To not to carry it with them, to confess, to profess and confess what in holding to. We may recall in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, where he said, "For we have become if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And that's what he's calling them to. That's what he's exhorting them to. And the reason he is exhorting them to do this, to continue to the end, to persevere in the faith, is because he knows that's the very best and most wonderful thing that they could ever do. And because he loves them, he wants to see this in their life. I would say to you, this even applies to parents. If you love your children, exhort them, appeal to them to bear the Word of God, to hold up and to believe and to profess the Word of God. It applies to parents. It applies to brothers and sisters in families. It applies to people in your community. It applies to people in this church with one another and those who are in the church outside of this church, that we are to be exhorting one another to bear up God's Word. Because we need these exhortations. We need these appeals. And so I appeal to you even now. Are you holding on? Don't let human works or human wisdom, such as it may be called, or situations in your life to drag you away from Christ. Bear with the word of exhortation. Bear with the truth of Jesus Christ. The preacher says he writes these things to them in a few words, and that may sound odd as we have these 13 chapters. I could say that having preached this now the 71st sermon, that some have preached even more sermons from the book of Hebrews, and we might not think, how does he say this is just a few words? And I don't know exactly all that he's trying to say here, but it could be that he's saying that I exactly what I wanted to say and not used a bunch of extra words, but I have simply pointed you to Jesus Christ in the most specific and particular way that you have needed to hear it. One thing we can be sure of right here, though, in this passage, that he is not willing just to say farewell. His love is so great for these people. He has to remind them. He's compelled to remind them to bear the truth of the gospel, to stay with it, to persevere. Brothers and sisters, that's a manifestation of your love for the body of Christ. And when someone comes to you and does the same thing and exhorts you to walk in truth, there could be all kinds of motives as to why they might be doing it. But if they're speaking truth to us, we should be looking at it as a loving action for the body of Christ. Not despising it. Because he loved them, he exhorted them to bear up, to suffer the truth of God. Well, secondly, because he loved them then, because he loved the brethren, he desired the brethren. In verse 23, he says, here's the command, know that our brother Timothy has whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. As you read this, know that our brother Timothy has been set free. It may, because Paul had been in prison several times, it may put us in the thinking, well, that means Timothy was in prison, but not necessarily. And we don't have any record in Scripture that Timothy was in prison, incarcerated for preaching the gospel or anything like that. So this phrase is not necessary to mean that. It simply could mean that he has become free of his duties or responsibilities that he has in one place and is now free to go out to the churches. In his prison letters, Paul, the Apostle Paul does that. He sends people out who have been sent to him, and they come to the churches. He then sends them back about him and also to get news about them. Colossians 4, verses 7 and 8, we see this happening. He sent Tychicus to Colossians. And we see the same thing happen in Philippians chapter 2 with a man named Epaphroditus, who was sent to him from Philippi. And now Paul is sending him back to minister to them. And so this is like, because Timothy was often ministering to Paul in his distresses. And so Paul is now freeing him from his duties and responsibilities to him to send him out to churches in like manner as those other two men. But the bigger point is this. Look at verse 23. This is what Paul wants them to know. Know that I shall see you, with whom, Timothy, I shall see you if he comes shortly. What is he saying? I'm going to see you, and I'll see you with Timothy if he also comes and makes it there at the same time. But Paul wanted them to know what is in my heart to not only minister to you in word, but also in deed. No, to be with you and to minister to you. Know this. Know my heart. Know it's my desire to minister to you both in word when I'm away and in your presence. Now, we do not know that this ever happened, if he ever got there. But we do know that this is an expression, a manifestation of his love for them. In that he did not just say, now I've written you this letter, I don't have time to come be with you, farewell. No, he said, I've written you this letter, I exhort you to bear it, and I plan to come to you. Another way of saying, I've come alongside you in the letter, and now I'm physically going to come alongside you to encourage you and to exhort you in truth. I'm going to come and be with you to minister to you. I imagine that Paul's love for these Hebrew brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, was fueled by the fact that he too, as a Hebrew, had suffered as a Hebrew for Christ's sake. He knew what they were going through. And he loved them. He loved the brethren. This was something, his visit to them, and we read it again this morning, but this is something that he had asked them to pray for. If you look back at verse 19, he says, but I to do what? To pray, to impact, that may be restored to you the sooner, especially so that this may happen, because I so desire, I so want to be with you. Again, we don't see the word love here, but we see it manifested. This is a manifestation of love on his part for the brethren. The simple fact that he wanted to not only come alongside them in the word, but also in presence. And we have to ask ourselves, are we doing that kind of thing? Are we coming alongside other Christians in word and in our presence with them? And that can be applied wherever your situation in life is, whatever it might be, with family, children, brothers and sisters in the family, spouses, husband and wife, others throughout the community who belong to the body of Christ, we are to come alongside one another, encourage one another, exhort one another in the word, and be with one another, ministering to one another. Thirdly, Because he loved them, he greets the entire church, seeking God's grace for them all. That's verses 24 and 25. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And here we see the underlying theme of loving the brothers and sisters in Christ, not only from him who is right, Christians as well. He includes those from Italy. He greets the entire congregation, not just the elders, not just the ones who are doing well, the entire congregation, and he is greeting them, saying goodbye to them with the all most important doctrine that they need to be reminded of, and that is God's grace. When he says grace be with you all, he is not saying grace in general. He's talking about God's grace to be with them. This is the reason to bear up under the exhortation to persevere. This is the reason for looking forward to a visit from him as a minister of the gospel. It is the reason also for a kind greeting from those who also believe in Italy. This grace. He's not just saying blessings, Pastor Paul. This grace is filled with doctrine. The grace of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's not just saying goodbye and the Lord be with you. It's a shared grace that brothers and sisters in Christ rejoice in. It's the grace of God in Christ Jesus that Paul seeks to be applied to them. It is the grace of God he's talking about in their sins being pardoned in Jesus Christ. The grace of God in giving his Spirit to his people to persevere in Christ. The grace of God in Paul's life that he is seeking for them to know as well because he loves them. How can we use this conclusion of this letter in our life? How do we apply it to the church today? Well, we too must first hear and bear the truth of God's Word, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult a task it calls us to in our community or in our life or even with our families, even in the church. We must hear the truth, bear the truth, suffer the truth, carry the truth, practice the truth, keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and we must encourage one another with these things. We must come alongside each other because we are the body. And the body of Christ, just like the human body, does not work independently of one another's parts, nor does it work independently for different goals. Your human body is a unified body working together. It is when it doesn't work together that it becomes ill or sick or non-functioning. But we as the body of Christ must encourage one another to be steadfast in the Word, even if that hurts sometimes. And we must do it not only to each other as individuals, but we at times must do it bigger ways to churches. We must call on them and call them out sometimes for not heeding and bearing and suffering the word of exhortation. Secondly, we need to ask ourselves, do we love to minister to God's people? Not just be with them, but minister to them. Because Paul wasn't just saying, when I come with Timothy, we're going to hang out, we're going to do some fun things, and enjoy each other's company. It's a good thing to do. But his intention was to minister to them, to come alongside them with God's Word. And so that's something that we can put to practice in our life as well. The minister, your minister, your shepherds, your elders, however many they are, however strong they are, however gifted they are, they cannot reach everybody in the congregation. and they were not meant to. You are in situations with different people in the church, locally and beyond, that the minister will never be there for that. But you can come alongside somebody with the truth. And that's a good reason why you need to know the truth in the first place, so that you can be used by God to exhort others to the truth. Paul didn't say, well, I've written you my letter, and there's the word, and now my job is done with you. He said, I've written you this letter, bear it, suffer it, put yourself under it, and I'm coming to come alongside you to help you with it, to help you with the truth. We as Christians have that calling upon our life as well, to encourage and exhort one another to walk in the faith. In that psalm that we sang in Psalm 119, it grieved David that others did not follow God's word. It grieved him. Does it grieve us when we see people not walking according to God's word? Christians. And how do we manifest love to them when we see that happening? Thirdly, we need to be seeking God's grace for our brothers and sisters, not just in our own church, not just in the RPCNA, but in the whole church, the whole body of Christ. And so we need to take opportunities to recognize, to pray with, to serve with, to fellowship with the broader Bible-believing, Christ-preaching church, to pray for them that God's grace would be working in them, because that grace be with you all is not only a proclamation, it is Paul's desire to see God's grace working in all. In all. God's grace. God's favor. That is his desire. Some examples of that we might look at that we have already experienced is that is what we did with him come and preach to us and having us come alongside him with a financial gift. Why? Not because we see him a lot, but because we know he is preaching the gospel, he is teaching people the gospel, discipling people in the gospel, and he was ministering to us, and so we in love minister to him. And it is likely that we may not see him for a great, great many years if we do see him again. But we are united to him by faith in Jesus Christ. And so he came alongside us, encouraging us with the word, and we were able to come alongside him in encouragement as well. And here maybe is even a smaller example. We have now the Robert Hamilton family in doing the same thing, in acknowledging us as people in the body of Christ and saying, hey, come over and have some fellowship time with us. We acknowledge you. We know you are serving Christ as well. Though it may be over there and we're over here, both geographically and doctrinally in some ways, we still acknowledge you all as saints and brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. In inviting you and we as a church to come join them. And I recognize able to do so. I just want you to recognize what they're doing. They're acknowledging you to come and fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we may think, well, I don't need that kind of fellowship. Well, I want to say to you that it's not just about you. When somebody calls out to you and invites you to do something, and there may be differences and it may be hard to be with them, but it may be that the Lord would want to use you in their life. Forget about yourself. Paul knew that God was wanting to use him and Timothy in their life, even though they weren't a strong, vital, they were struggling. And he sought to be with them, to minister to them. And he was seeking God's grace for them, for God's grace to be applied to their life. And Paul said in Ephesians 6:23, in another closing statement, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be with all those who love Jesus. And that's what Paul was saying to the Hebrews. And Paul was saying, I am one of those who love Jesus, and so are you. And so I'm coming to minister to you, to walk alongside you, because I love you. Because I have experienced the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I've experienced the love of God. So I'm going to love the brethren, those whom Jesus Christ loves. So wrapping up the book of Hebrews, how can we heed God's word? Let us love our brethren by paying heed to the word of Christ. You living according to this exhortation, yourselves set you up to minister to God's people, to love them. Besides, it is your duty. It also enables you to minister to others as you come alongside them, to encourage them and to appeal and to exhort them to following God's word. We love the brethren by coming alongside one another with God's word, by coming alongside physically with one another and walking with one another, praying with one another, working with one another, fellowshipping with one another, encouraging one another. So let us do that. Let us heed God's word. Let us minister to one another. And let us desire God's grace be applied to all the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. All of them. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us through it, through the preaching of it, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, which we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do now in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to apply what we've heard today. Help us to manifest the love that you have for your people. Help us to manifest that love in Jesus Christ to our brethren, to our brothers and sisters.